Words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure before thy face, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And you shall select for yourselves favorable cities, which will be cities of refuge, that the murderer may flee there who smites a soul in ignorance. When we think about having hurt someone without intending to, then we can understand the vital role a city of refuge can play. The Lord set up these cities of refuge for the Israelites, and there were six cities in all spread throughout the Holy Land, so they were accessible from anywhere in the region. They were a sanctuary for a person who had unwittingly killed another man. This system protected the innocent offender from the penalty of death. It was a merciful system. By understanding why these cities were set up and how they operated, we can see evidence of the Lord's incredible mercy and his love for the human race. And just like it did for the Israelites, this system of mercy can both save us when we realize that we have made a grave but unintended, unwitting spiritual mistake, and save us also from responding to another's error with hatred. Perhaps as an indication of how important this system is, the Lord explained it repeatedly in the sacred scripture. First in Exodus, after delivering the Ten Commandments, Moses explained among the many other laws that were to follow that if a person accidentally smites another, it says, "I will set for thee a place where he shall flee." Then in Numbers, as the Israelites were in the midst of their 40 years of wandering through the wilderness, more is given about how these cities of refuge would work. We learn that the law of the cities of refuge included the requirement that the refugee stand before the elders of the congregation for determination regarding whether the killing was an accident. Then, if the killing was found to be an accident, it says the congregation shall rescue the murderer from the hand of the redeemer of blood, and the congregation shall return him to the city of his refuge, to which he fled, and he shall dwell in her until the death of the high priest, who was anointed with the holy oil. And this is not the last time the Lord explained the law regarding the cities of refuge either. Again, before the conquest of Canaan took place in the book of Deuteronomy, and then one last time after the conquest of the land of Canaan was complete in Joshua, the Lord saw fit to present the law regarding the cities of refuge to the Israelites. And just on a natural level, there are many familiar aspects of this law that seem to be recognized as fundamental to a system of justice today. There seemed to be a presumption of innocence. The offender was given refuge at least until a decision could be made regarding the nature of the death. There also seemed to be an element of decision-making that rested on the finding of fact by one's peers, as it was an assembly of the congregation that made such findings. Finally, and most importantly, an evil intent was required before the Redeemer of Blood could enforce the death penalty. Otherwise, when the killing was without enmity, without knowing, without hatred, without stalking or premeditation, but rather done by ignorance, error, or innocently, refuge would be granted. And this intent standard is also a central element in most criminal offenses today. On the most basic level, this story from the Word provides useful direction for civil law regarding the punishment for killing. It seems that the laws regarding murder that begin with a presumption of innocence require a fair process for fact-finding and then include specific intent as an element. It seems that these laws are good laws. But when we look at the internal sense of this law, we can see where these notions of justice really come from. These bedrock principles that have been enshrined in many legal systems today come from a higher cause, a cause that serves the mercy of the Lord. All of us will, or probably already have, hurt someone else or hurt ourselves from ignorance. Perhaps we can look back and say, when we think about those times, well, I was trying to do something good, but I sure wish I knew a particular teaching from the Lord then that I know now, because if I did, I would have acted much differently. The cities of refuge are for times just like this. Times when we realize that from good intentions we have acted on false ideas that we didn't know were false, and it hurt ourselves or it hurt others. In these cases, we learn from the heavenly doctrine that there is no blame. We learn that this set of laws is specifically for, it says in the Arcana, the state of one who is blameless. The Lord gives the following detailed example of an accidental death worthy of refuge in Deuteronomy. He who comes into the forest with his companion to hew wood, and his hand wields the axe to cut off the wood, and the iron is shaken off the wood, and finds his companion and he die, he shall flee to one of those cities and live. The Lord teaches us in the Arcana that this scenario describes spiritually how the good intentions of swinging the wooden handle result in harm to another person when the iron axe head of falsity inflicts unintended injury. In a spiritual sense, this example helps us see how the cities of refuge law guides our response to harm caused by our well-intended falsity. In these cases, whatever harm we cause simply is not our fault. And the Lord provides refuge for us in His Word and in His church, where we can learn better what we should have done and why. Cities in the Word mean truth or doctrine. And the cities of refuge were also Levite cities, cities of charity. They were cities accessible throughout the land because, as we read in Apocalypse explained, the good of charity must be in all things of the church. What better place to go than the truth of the Word with a desire to do good when we see we have been, through no fault of our own, hurting others or ourselves with false ideas that we didn't know were false? A city of refuge, a city of truth, a Levite city, a city of charity. So what false ideas might we unwittingly cause harm with? What false ideas may cause us to flee to a city of refuge? One might be a mistaken idea of God. It can be a tendency with all of our doctrine in the new church that explains so much to sort of over-intellectualize God. We can do this to the point where, because we are fascinated by the teachings about His divinity and the mechanics of providence, that we may not actually see that conjunction with the Lord means talking to Him. It means listening to Him, picturing Him in our mind's eye, feeling His loving presence, and acting from Him. Perhaps at first we just don't see that His providence is His continuous divine human presence with us in all of these ways. An over-intellectualized view of God can hurt our ability to be conjoined with Him, and it could hurt others too, if it causes their idea of God to be obscured. An idea of God that overemphasizes His humanity can do the same thing too. When we think about the Lord living and breathing on this very planet, taking on a human body, along with its hereditary evil from Mary, we might fall into the error of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ as a human, but not also completely divine. This mistaken belief, overemphasizing the Lord's humanity, can also weaken our ability to see Him, but this time weaken our ability to see Him as the all-powerful and infallible God that He is, even though Jesus did something only the Lord can do: succeed in every single temptation he experienced on earth. Perhaps these examples of a mistaken view of the Lord can help us see that through no fault of our own, and even from a good motive to learn about the Lord so we can know him better, that we can still adopt falsities that can hurt ourselves or hurt others. And it is when we realized that we have harmed others, that's when we flee to the city of spiritual refuge. But what are signs of harm that can come from mistaken notions of God like this? Signs that can signal to us that we need to run to the nearest city of refuge. One might be a simple statement from a friend who has become also an adherent of this over-intellectualized idea of God, a statement such as, "I can't picture him anymore." Or a statement from the friend who has adopted the idea of Jesus as having the same character flaws that we do, saying, "Well, not even Jesus was perfect." Statements like these seem to indicate unwitting harm caused by well-intentioned but unknown false ideas. But upon the recognizing of this harm, if one flees to a city of refuge, the Lord's divine truths, with the goal of doing good with them, then the Lord will hold us blameless. And not only will he hold us blameless, he will help us emerge from the city when the time is right. And we will emerge with the well-intended falsity corrected, and the ability to live and do good in new ways as a result. This new state seems to be part of the law of the cities of refuge as well. We read that after the death of the high priest, the murderer shall return into the land of his possession. Death in the word does not only mean an end, oftentimes it can mean the beginning of a new state too. And in reference to the high priest who represents the Lord as to good, it seems to indicate a new state of being able to do good based on a new and better understanding of the Lord himself. As the humans that we are bound to learn as we go that some of the things that we have thought were mistaken and have caused harm. And some of these ideas can be pretty foundational religious beliefs. Like the nature of God, the nature of salvation, the nature of life after death, and many, many others. There doesn't seem to be any way around this predicament of human fallibility. But when we take refuge in the doctrines from charity and take advantage of the help that we will receive there, at some point we will be ready to emerge. We will see the Lord in a new way. And we will be ready to perform more real acts of charity from truth, rather than committing the well-intentioned harm that comes from innocent falsity. Cities of refuge, however, are not only to help us when we need it. They are also there so we can help others when they need it too. Once we see the importance of the cities of refuge, we need to be ready to help others find their way to these cities of safety. And we need to be ready to help others while they are there. These cities are cities where the truth is taught with the goal of charity in mind. A city of refuge is where a person is cared for and learns how to better love, rather than being punished for an unintended harm that a false idea has caused. When we have truly benefited from the loving cities of refuge ourselves, we will know even better how to help another benefit from them as well. Amen.